Hi, I'm Teresa Davenport, Senior Research Analyst for Mayer & Mayer. Today I have with me Diana Bailey, Workforce Development and Transition Coordinator for Juvenile Services Education, Division of Career and College Readiness at the Maryland State Department of Education. Diana also has a strong background in career, workforce development, and life skills for the adults incarcerated in the Maryland State Prisons. She is also the Contact Hour Chairperson on the Board of the Maryland Career Development Association and member of the NCDA. Diana is a master trainer and nationally certified as Offender Workforce Development Specialist and GCDF instructor. This training program was developed in partnership with NCDA by the National Institute of Corrections for professionals working with adults and youthful offenders. Diana, it sounds like you've got a long history of using ONET to help people establish a career path. So let's start our conversation today by talking about what you're doing now to help youth who are detained or in treatment programs and how ONET is involved in that.
Sure. One of the things that we're trying to do, although our students are with us very briefly, it could be anywhere from 1 day to 6 months, we have an intake process as part of the developing transition plan for any of those students. And we administer one of the informal ONET assessments to hopefully each of the students, so they'll have some idea when they leave us what would be some of their areas to explore when they return to school, the community, or to the one-stop. We found that after we did a pilot of a number of the informal and formal career interest assessments, that the offline ONET worked very well for us. It was, of course, based on the Holland Theory, which is, as a practitioner, that was one that we found most useful. But the offline ONET assessment was one that was user-friendly for the student, but also for the broad range of practitioners who might be implementing that in a classroom setting, in a career center, one-to-one with one of their career development facilitators, or in some cases with one of the community partners. From that, the students often could learn that they had the potential or the interest area of doing a quote-unquote real job in the community, which for many of our youthful students and youthful offenders, they just did not have the experience or the exposure to sort of a normal workforce or to normal career exploration or planning to see themselves in the workforce legally at all. So it gave them some hope that once they left our school program or their return to the community, that this particular tool was one that could be used for planning, of course, but also as a career facilitation tool.
Okay, so that provided a nice, smooth process for these youth. You mentioned the Holland Theory. Could you expand a little bit on that and tell me what that's about?
There's a number of major career theorists for those of us that are career development facilitators. But in terms of career planning, the Holland Theory is one that's based on temperaments and types that are patterns of behaviors and interests. So, for example, under the Holland Theory, we're going to find student responses that come into several categories: the realistic, the investigative, the enterprising, the social, the conventional. And in those, there are certain job clusters that surround those preference areas. So, for example, if you have a preference for career pathways that are realistic, they tend to be those career pathways that are more hands-on, construction-related. It could be any technical areas, some of the biosciences where you're doing some of the lab tech areas. In the social fields, we find a lot of teachers and nurses or trainers. So we're really looking at career clusters that fit the students' interest areas so then they can build their educational plan as in what courses to take or what training to get that would supplement and also support their interest strengths. For our students, our youth that are incarcerated or who are detained, many of the assessments they may have had in school show what they can't do, but as a career facilitator, particularly working with special populations, we're really trying to discover what they can do, and then we can build on that.
Okay. Well, let's switch gears for just a minute and talk about your previous experiences with adults who are incarcerated. How have you been able to use ONET with them?
Well, many years ago, when Maryland was one of the pilot sites for the Prison to Work program, we again were looking at quite a few career assessments that would meet the needs, and in this case, of the adult population who were incarcerated. Many of those adults had significant learning issues or literacy level issues, as well as resistance to what they considered was taking a test. So we wanted a tool that was, again, student-friendly, user-friendly, and would be something that would be helpful to, again, both the practitioner and the adult student, so that they, with information and facilitation from a career development facilitator, they hopefully could take it to their next step in terms of exploring career pathways that might fit their interest areas. In the adult facilities, we had a number of employment readiness classes, and if they were eligible or could get into an employment readiness class prior to their release, the instructor there, who was often a offender workforce development specialist, would spend quite a bit of time in debriefing those career assessments and then, again, working with the adult person to explore careers, finding what the training requirements were, what the salary outcomes were, what the labor market information was, for example, in Maryland. In some of our larger facilities, we also developed career centers. In those career centers, we had some inmate clerks who were also trained to facilitate these informal assessments, and they could guide their peers, in many cases, to some of the exploration resources that were there. A number of the print resources that we had, since the students nor many of the teachers would have access to the Internet, which clearly is a barrier for career planning, many of those print resources were based on the ONET. Additionally, many staff would go to the ONET site and at home print down some of the job descriptions related to that career pathway that the student identified as an interest area. From that, informal notebooks frequently were developed, so again, they might be clustered by careers that were in construction or transportation, hospitality, and so forth. So some of the things that were frequently used, we would have available in those career centers or those classrooms.
Okay. Well, tell me this. How have you seen ONET affect the, for example, like job retention or recidivism in the prison population?
Well, we know both by research and by best practice that if an individual is in a career plan or planning or training for a career that is within their interest, the likelihood of them retaining that employment is obviously significantly higher. We also know from research and from practice that if any person that retains employment is less likely to be at risk for any number of things. And when they're less likely to be at risk, then the public safety goes up and the costs of recidivism go down, which is really the whole goal
right.
for all of us that are working with adults and youth who have issues.
Right. It is a big benefit. So how could you see other organizations benefiting from some of your experiences?
Well, one of the major areas that we worked on over the last probably 10 years as well, Maryland was one of the state sites that offered the Offender Workforce Development Specialist training. That was a national credential training, so many of the practitioners who participated were working inside the fence, but a large number of the folks were also working outside the fence, either with agencies, parole and probation, Goodwill, some other private or faith-based organizations. Many of those folks were very skilled at working with folks who've been incarcerated but did not have the theoretical background or knowledge of the tools to use with their clients or students. So exploring the ONET Internet site was part of that course. We also did quite a bit of hands-on practice with a number of the formal and informal assessments. We also worked with them to familiarize themselves with the free resources that were there, because many of these organizations were underfunded, not funded, and so it was really important for our professionals to find high-quality resources that would support the needs of their clients and students.
Right. Well, Diana, you've just got such a wealth of information to share. If others have questions for you about what you've shared today, how could they get in touch with you?
Well, since I'm on the road so much, probably the best way to get in contact with me would be my email, which is dbaile@msde.state.md.us.
Great. Diana, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.